Support for Art and Labor comes from our lovely Drip subscribers. Your contributions help us dedicate more time to the podcast. Subscribe now for bonus memes, writing, and art. Become a doodle bitch today and get one of our controversial t-shirts. Hello, welcome to Art and Labor, the podcast about the ongoing struggle to survive as an art and or cultural worker. I'm OK Fox.
And I'm Lucia Love, and I'm freaking out.
We just met the mayor.
Whoa, and he sucked.
Dude, the mayor sucked.
Wow, he had no answers.
The mayor was bad.
He didn't tell anybody anything except that we are going to wait until disaster strikes before we act.
I yelled at the mayor.
You did. It was so cool.
So the mayor had a press conference about the L train shutdown, and it was so obviously placating wealthy homeowners and people who drive cars
In the audience,
at the expense of literally everybody else who is the majority of the New Yorkers, because it was just so fucking weird. I came up out of the subway, literally the mayor was looking down on me. I looked up, and the tall ass giraffe man was looking down at me, and I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
Were like, I know how to get on top of this situation. Selfie time.
I got a selfie with the mayor, and I didn't know what to say then, because I knew they were about to do a press conference, so I didn't want to be marked as
a dissident.
Look
at that one in the bright colors. We're not even trying to be a camouflage or anything.
And it was other people asked for a selfie first, so it was very natural. I'd be like, oh, I wanted one too, or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh my God, the mayor is my favorite thing.
At first, I was like, gonna record myself yelling something at him, but then I was like, I kind of want to hear the press conference, and there's all these cops here, so I'm not sure.
And then
go about this.
There was a little moment where they were all taking questions from this pit of clearly
bewildered reporters, because we found out we met a reporter afterwards at Waffa's, which is our favorite place.
Yeah, we love Waffa's.
And we met
Katie Honan because of a moment of bravery.
So the mayor's talking about the L train, and and we saw the guy Ben too from Second Avenue Sagas, which is like my favorite transit blog. They're really good. But Katie told us that the press were not informed that there was going to be questions.
Right.
So they weren't prepared. Very intentional when they do that.
Yeah, there was hardly anyone at this press conference. It looked, they didn't even put up the amount of stanchions necessary to seem like an event. It was just this real cloud of gray suits, and there was a couple of details like security people with guarding the perimeters and few cops, and really it was like, oh, maybe everyone is standing around for a wedding if you couldn't see clearly.
The state doesn't want transparency. They do not want actual democracy, because
they don't want to tell us what's actually going on.
Like, they just don't. Like, they would much rather answer to the same group of like wealthy fucking idiots who are the only people who have time to actually participate in the political process and shit.
It was such
they
just
they don't want to answer to they don't want to answer to regular people, because like the whole press conference was just like them being like, oh, we don't want to try like so they don't really want to implement anything strong or like really like figure this out and really do it correctly. What they want is for it to just go wrong, they want to do like a what is the least we can do without it going wrong, but it's going to go wrong. And then we can tell the car people, like, look, see, it's going wrong, so we really do have to charge you.
Right.
And
they were
like,
basically like, hey, don't worry about it. We have 200 buses.
It's just like, why let it go wrong first? Why? And so I yelled out, like, I yelled out, like, why aren't you modeling it now before the shutdown?
Yeah, and then there was, like, a pincer action. There were some people who came out and out of the crowd, and they were like, hey, listen, you know, media requests only, okay? And it was like everyone was ready to maybe restrain you.
Yeah, it's very nerve-wracking.
Maybe me? I don't know. I was like, do it, do it. You should yell. We're in public.
We kept making pithy comments throughout, like, whenever they talked about, like, bicycles or whatever. I was like, what about the winter?
Yeah.
Like, and whenever they talked about buses, it's like, look at all the people literally behind them who have been waiting for this bus
like the entire time.
And it were, like, tons of people. There was, like, 2 dozen people at a not very busy bus. Like, it's like, that's not even like a very popular bus, and there were tons of people.
Yeah,
just
and meanwhile, it's like, you know, our buses, they go empty, and this doesn't need to be. We've got plenty of opportunity to get people over the bridge. You know, we're going over that bridge. If we need to,
there's
we'll even
no
have
talk
carpool,
about the winter or bad weather. They
we
were just
won't.
Like, you know, we're going to be relying on bikes a lot. And it's just like, well, what about when it's bad fucking weather?
It didn't make any sense.
Like, nobody mentioned bad weather at all.
Yeah. Why? I mean, immediately you would think, even if it's summer, what if it rains?
Yeah. What if it's the heat wave?
Snow.
What if it's like 100 degrees
but
out?
But
do
it doesn't
really expect
matter
everybody to be able to bike?
The bike is going to be easy to pedal, so you're not going to sweat when it's 100 degrees somehow.
And it's like the hurricane season is like, it's basically autumn. It's basically the fall. So it's like there could be huge storms that aren't snowstorms, but people aren't going to be able to fucking bike to work in them.
No, it's going to be a terrible mess unless we all get cars or planes.
They just want it to go wrong, and so then only after it goes wrong they can do something. And it's just like,
well, after it goes wrong, they're not.
They probably
it's
weren't.
It's like, yeah, it was. There was so little, like, there was so little offered in that moment that it truly felt like we were being left behind. And I don't know, I kind of had an anxiety attack listening to this, because not necessarily, like, you know, the content was really placating, but the kind of lackadaisical, like, hey, oh, there's just all these people driving by on the side of the street, and we're just kind of here, and nothing is a big deal. Hey, listen, please, people, don't come here with your own questions. Like, we have a party line, and we're going to feed it to you, and then we're going to go home to our mansions, and you can suck a big fat dick.
And it's like media requests only, but they... it intentionally didn't
and you were
tell.
Like, I'm media.
I know. It's like, yeah, that's what I said. I'm media.
like what the fuck?
What does that mean?
Am
what
I
does that actually
to be
mean?
Standing in the pen? Did you write people questions beforehand? Like,
no, they want their hand-selected media to come, but then they also didn't tell the media that they would be taking questions, so the media wasn't prepared.
Yeah.
It's all very intentional. And like,
so fucked. They don't care. No, I think when things start going wrong, it's gonna be like community effort. I just don't believe it's a
huge topic. But then he has the fucking gall to talk about like fucking Michael Cohen and the president.
Oh my god, that was so bizarre.
Why the fuck?
He was like, he just was like, hey, you know, everyone showed up for the subway, but let me tell you, I really think that Trump is just like Nixon.
It was so obviously a smokescreen to get into further discussions about. They just wanted to be so intentionally like vague. They just wanted to be really fucking vague.
Yeah, and then distract to something that is like more of an emotional hard spot to just be like, hey, but by the way, like, look at how fucked up the entire country's government is. Like, it's not just me fucking up your shit. It goes all the way to the top.
Yeah, I mean, I liked how he was anti-Uber. That was, like, the one thing.
He was really scapegoating the shit out of everyone, right? He was like, hey, y'all hate Uber. Hey, y'all hate the president.
Yeah.
Oh, how about Russia? Y'all hate... Like, why are we talking about... What, is Russia shutting down the L train? Is that why we're talking about this?
Joey's nodding.
Like, what the fuck?
Anyway, that was funny. That was really funny, but it was extremely jarring because Lucia just quit her Juul, so it was
stressful
moment.
My God. I couldn't have picked a worse time not to have any nicotine in my bloodstream. Jesus Christ. I freaked. I was like, can't even do this. I can't talk about anything right now.
It was like having a meltdown, and then we got an ice cream, and now we feel better.
Yeah, I love it. Thanks.
we got a little ice cream, and now we feel better.
Everything's going to be okay. It was still ice cream. It was an ice cream sandwich.
We got an ice cream sandwich, and now we feel better.
Oh, my God.
I don't smoke Juul. I do ice cream sandwich.
Oof. Yeah, well, so that's the breaking news for the day. There was some news from a couple days ago that kind of ties into some things we wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah, what?
News about the news.
I don't even remember. No. I forgot last podcast to be say congratulations to the MoMA workers who successfully renegotiated their contract. Hooray. That rules now.
Yeah, congratulations.
Why haven't you unionized your fellow workers at PS1? Why don't you unionize your fellow workers at PS1?
Extend your hand.
That's my suggestion. Just my suggestion.
Hey, because PS1 is on the outskirts, you know? It's dirty out there. It's scary. You've got to leave Manhattan to get there.
They're going to make MoMA 2 and then, like...
And then PS1 is just gonna actually like crumble into its own basement, and then it'll be like, what? Never happened.
I don't even.
No, it's gonna be fine. It's just gonna turn into a dance hall.
What else do we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about the recent episode of Chappa where they talk about art a little bit?
Yeah, I'd love to, because that was really. I feel like if there's anything, like, we should have a dialogue between the pods.
Yeah, I think people. Like, are right that, like, podcasts aren't activism. That's absolutely correct. But they are propaganda. And so it's important for us to treat it critically and not just, like, treat it like it's an it's just entertainment. It's just a feeling. But it's, like, I think that's kind of dangerous to think that way because, you know, what are we learning from the past? Because it's like, I think about a lot, like, David Cross's Shut Up You Fucking Baby album that came out in, like, 2004. And, like, I would sit and listen to that when I was, like, a child. I was probably, like, 13. I'm not older than that.
Listen, entertainment forms the way I communicate. It forms what I talk about.
But to hear somebody say, like, patriotism is bullshit, like, 2 or 3 years after 9/11.
They'll make you brave.
That, like, really gets in there. It's like, whoa, we can criticize this. It is vapid. This is bullshit.
Yeah,
I get it now.
You know what's another, like, weird pull of this conversation is, like, the whole Alex Jones thing going on where we're like, no. Hey, everybody, like, stop paying attention. Like, you know, I mean, whatever. It's just, like, the news. It's just entertainment. It's just art. It's just whatever. Like,
oh,
somebody's messaging.
Yeah.
But then, you know, here's a guy who just gets up and says crazy inflammatory things, and then people act on the things he says.
And terrorize people. Like,
what?
Like, literally go out and, like, terrorize, like, people whose children have been shot to death.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, you know.
They're already terrorized, and then they're getting directly.
Perpetually terrorized because of someone who's just trying to sell weird brain powders.
It's wild. So it's like, of course, like, things are just. Entertainment, but it's like, do you really just want to be alt comedy part 2? Because, like, that's like how I see it. Because, like, with David Cross and stuff, and, like, I loved, like, Stella. I was actually as an extra on an episode of Stella.
Oh, my God.
I love Stella. They were my favorite.
I love
favorite.
Stella, too.
But it's, like, to watch them now be the most, like... Like,
well, now they're just
feckless, fucking neo-lib trash. Like, I love them as comedians, and I like their work, but it's like that.
I do see it differently at this point. It's just, I don't know. Never mind. Like, the whole thing about Stella was that they just bumble around and they don't know anything, and then they're kind of like expected to have. It's like, okay, now you have a Twitter platform, Michael Ian Black, and it's like, whoever wanted to hear his opinion? Like, I just want to see him like wiggle down the street and go like, funk rock
or funk rock.
Like, that's all I want out of that.
I'm listening to funk rock, Michael. Well, I'm listening to funk rock.
Yeah, I want to see him walk out of a car crash and keep arguing about funk rock.
I mean, like, I love them, but it's like, but it's like this whole alt comedy scene. I mean, in particular, you know, you got Janine Garofalo, you got David Cross, you got like Sarah Silverman, you got. Mark Maron, fucking, who's a fucking creepazoid, and Sam Cedar or whatever, and Sam is like sort of to the left of center, but like they're,
and then you have like the whole Dan Harmon island where it's God. Just like he's basically like a godhead to a bunch of like I don't know,
but it was so great lovely to people. Have them be the only people on like mainstream television against the Iraq War when we were children.
Oh yeah,
because totally. There nobody else was speaking up, and like the David Cross like speaking out against how patriotism is bullshit. Like nobody else was doing that, but it's like they're not.
David Cross is also just an exceptional human being, like that he was one of the first people to pick up the script for like Sorry to Bother You, and like
yeah,
I don't know,
and Patton Oswalt too, but yeah. They disappoint us a lot too.
Yeah, but their track record is still like full
it's
of a
fine.
Lot of bangers.
Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, no, they're good and they're fine, but they're centrist pretty much. Like or like
yeah,
like,
but that's also like the passage of time like makes people irrelevant, and that's that I would get behind. Like, yeah, I mean, sure, the work that we do, I pray that it is eclipsed by more radical progressive people that like we
that's
can
true.
Just like
yeah.
You know, we can retire with some ease knowing that there's a push forward, but like,
well, why not just like re-examine your way of thinking? I just don't like when people are just very gung-ho about like, this is it, this is the way. Why
yeah.
not like take a second to re-examine like, oh, maybe I didn't know this whole thing. Maybe I don't know everything about this topic.
Yeah, well, it is really weird that like going back to the Chapo thing, people are talking about how art doesn't have this like, I don't know, there's no room for it in a revolutionary kind of mindset or something. I don't know. It's like there's so many instances where art is actually like the battleground for the revolution where I'm getting through this like book about the representation of femininity, women in art. And there are all of these cases where you know, up until recently, all we had was paintings, and the images that we look at dictate like societal roles, and they totally reinforce the emotional reality of that, you know, whoever is depicted. I'm like, oh, I relate to this person who's in the picture. I'm a strong warrior guy. And then like, I don't want, you know, and then, oh, but look at that woman depicted in war. Like, she looks like a terrible demon troll. I don't want to be that.
Right. Like, it's, like, well, the thing is, how did they frame it? They were, like, they're saying that, like, sometimes art is just, like, an emotional response, and that's all it is.
Oh, yeah, catharsis.
Catharsis and...
You're asking too much of art to change society. That's not its purpose. I went and I yelled at Trump Tower, and it was cathartic. And sometimes that's all a piece of art can be, is somebody performing self-catharsis. against their time.
Yeah, but that's not a full picture of what art does and what it can do. And I just,
And like one thing that it reminded me of was in school, I had this moment where I was like, oh shit, I make art, but it's like weird. It doesn't look right. Like, the art I'm making doesn't look like the art that's everywhere around me. What is wrong? People are telling me that I am weird. And then a friend of mine came up and was like, dude, that's great. Because, like, that means that, like, keep it. That means they haven't got you. Like, that, if anything, it's not a catharsis. It fills you with anxiety and dread to be different than everyone else around you. And, like, until you find that community and then you're able to mobilize.
Yeah.
But, like, being an other is like, actually the surefire way to keep fascism at bay. Like, you know, you want to have a little bit of liberty of thought. And you want to have, like, a critical perspective. And one of the things that art is great for is exercising those muscles of being like, actually, I think everything's bullshit, and this is the way I see the world, and it's not cathartic. The terror never goes away. It's like,
I think it's important to just, like, be critical and just, like, have conversations and don't just, like, write shit off like it's just one thing or another. Like, I agree with the notion that, like, even if someone's like a racist, sexist, or like shitbag in some way, if they're organizing their workplace, that's great. I think that that's true, but we can't just like,
wait, a racist, sexist, like, shitbag that's organizing their workplace?
That's what they brought up on the episode.
Yeah, I, like, mean,
it's,
yeah,
that's... I'm think it's good too if there's like if there are people who are doing some good things, but I think it's important to point out, hey, you're also, like,
if they're racist and sexist, though, they're not organizing the workplace for everyone.
No, they're doing it for themselves and their immediate community. So it's like, you have to, you can't just be like, hey, I take that over the fucking feminist telling me what to do or whatever, because that's like a false equivalence. It's not really, like, if we want to actually build a full working class movement, we need to think about both of these things together. We can't just, like, write off, like, well, look, this guy's actually doing real leftist organizing.
Right.
He's organizing his workplace, so.
Yeah, culture.
You calling him racist, what the fuck are you doing? Ugh. Like, you're just being, like, you're just doing a fucking optics or whatever. And it's like, there's a strong lefty argument against optics, against, like, considering optics ever.
Oh, totally, because it seems like people can't do the thinking about multiple, like, procedures at once. We're like, we can look good, represent different people, and also create better policy that protects them.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's really, like, to me, it's not even optics. It's just, like, caring about other people who are different than you.
Yeah, and it's major. Like going into the realm of soft power, looking at the way that cultures interact with each other and create, like, exports of this. Basically, you know, entertainment is an act of goodwill. And it's, like, an appeal to someone that you know want to open up to. You want to, like, I think right. Yeah, I'm creating something that ideally is meant to connect with others, and, like, and the amount of people that connect to it, like, can connect in different ways, because an image does have that open-ended. Or, like, a song, you know, a poem, something, like, it's different than political philosophy that has to be as exact as possible.
Right. It's like basically what it comes down to for me is like the message of fuck the Democrats is good. And it's just like how if we're going to reach a lot more people if we like let them in as like a we care about marginalized voices as well. Like it's not just like cuz there are a lot of folks online who like are like they're not neo-libs, then like they're not liberals. They're people who are to the left, but they care about like decolonization or
oh yeah
feminism or like care about these issues that are they are
there's something
like they're winning those battles with Democrats and neo-libs, and they see it more likely to win gains with them than through actual leftist organizing. Like,
right. Yeah, so then they're just, like, subsumed into the neoliberal agenda instead of maintaining a solidarity with a greater
Even if they'll never vote for a Democrat or Hillary Clinton.
Well, they'll still, like, receive concessions. Yes. They'll receive, like, the benefit of being acknowledged.
Right. And so I propose that the left consider is not optics to like placate the neoliberals, but a care about people who aren't traditionally voiced in the conversation. I mean, like, this is why a lot of like because like racism is a lot of the reason why the American left has failed in the past. Right. Like, it's like, are we really just going to repeat the same mistakes over and over again? And like, and I'm just worried that like everybody's just like, well, this is just a comedy scene. This is just a comedy scene. And it's just like, well, okay, so do you want to end up like the other like neolib garbage comedy scenes? Or do you want to actually be
Do you know
different?
About Ortega y Gasset?
I don't think so.
Jose Ortega y Gasset.
That sounds familiar. But
he's a philosopher that talks about mass movements, and he also wrote a lot about art and what the modern era, so like, you know, 1920s,
yeah,
around 1930s,
yeah,
I guess that's like the height of his writing. But he starts talking about
where's he from?
I guess he's Spanish.
Like Latin American or Mexican?
It's like Spanish. Like Spain.
Oh, Spain. Okay.
Like España.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. It could be. I mean, I'm just.
I say, because we're also going to talk about Rivera today.
Oh, yeah. We're getting segueing into that whole thing. I, you know, yell at me if I'm wrong, but I thought he was Spanish. But he talks about the like prevailing modern mindset places comedy and irony at the height of hierarchy and the form. You know, he didn't know about like postmodernism. It just didn't exist yet. He was like, no, this for the next like century or so at least is going to be the most important mode of communication. People are going to receive this, and the only downside of it is they're going to be exasperated, but that exasperation is actually like a great engine towards action. Whereas if you valued something like sorrow or like, you know, something else, some other kind of emotional value when you're taking in art, then you would maybe fall into like a morass, you know, you would just be kind of like depressed or something. If it was like, oh, I just love being sad, I don't want to do anything. But this like exasperation that comes from the irony of life makes you want to have movements like, you know, the New Sincerity or something. People want to have more reality. They want to have a more tangible experience. They want to feel like their government is in their control again. Like, it's actually like a great fuel that has been taking since the 20s to come to fruition now. And I'm just, I don't know, speaking on my own bullshit. He didn't obviously write from the future.
No, but I mean, yeah, it's a lot of the, you know, dirtbag left irony comedy people talk about just feeling fucking shit after just being like, yep, it's shit. Like,
Yeah,
like,
well,
the world's going to end probably in a couple decades. Like, everything's going to collapse and it's all bad. And it's...
Get angry, people!
And it's...
Get angry!
And it's just, like, something about, like, I don't know, folks just being like, yeah, I just want to make enough money so I can just, like, play video games all day and not think.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
Oh, I really want to hear what you have to say then for the rest of your life.
Fucking hell. Like, yeah.
Where can I subscribe?
If people really like you and are giving you a lot of money to think about the world differently, then take them up on that challenge and, like, really think about it. Like, that's what I think. Like, if you're given the time and the space to do it, then meet people there and, like, don't just give up. Don't, like, and don't just feel like that's all there is. Don't get nihilistic.
Yeah.
Like, there's...
Yeah, your life is going to be longer than you think if you let nihilism take you down and the, like, it's like the first act is done, you know, but we still have so much left. Like, if we consider society, our whole human project of dignity and like, goodwill to be a lost cause, then I don't know. I mean, like, why even play video games?
Right?
Those are made by people.
They've kind of gotten boring to me lately. I used to, like, when I was, like, employed and really stressed out by my job, I would play them to de-stress.
Yeah.
Like, lately, being on unemployment and just, like, dedicating time to thinking of other ways of organizing the world and shit and better futures for the goddamn planet, I'm like, oh, I don't actually need to play this right now.
yeah. Unless there was, like, a video game about how to reduce carbon footprints or something.
I don't know. Yeah, you don't want, like, too, like, educational over the head with it.
Yeah.
Shit, because people get like, I'm doing homework. I don't want to do homework.
No, there's like, a new Fallout, but it's all just about, like, how to get a hazmat suit on and clean up nuclear waste.
Oh, my God.
It's not, like, you don't even fight in it. You see, like, you see what it was, like, the Death Claws or whatever, and they walk up, and they're like, oh, I've got a barrel. You could just put the trash in here. Like, oh, thanks. Okay. They run up really fast.
Like a more realistic Stardew Valley, but it's like communalism.
Yeah.
And we should pay the guy who did Stardew Valley to make like a communalism sim.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd do really well.
That's awesome. like solutions are around every corner, people.
I don't know. Like, yeah, I mean, fuck, dude. Like, I like being ironic and having fun and joking around and shit. And I'm that all the time. But I'm not gonna like use that as a shield against any sort of criticism or like, you know, just like.
Oh no!
Fucking
hey, I'm goofy. I'm a goofy person, yeah. But I still believe that that has value, and I believe that art has value.
Yeah, and it's like, fuck, like the guy in the interview, in the band. I'm never gonna fucking listen to this band because I did not, like, it did not sell me on it at all. He was like, you know, I've been in DIY for like 10 years, and it's like, dude, that doesn't make you a fucking authority on like.
Well, the
on,
whole
like,
thing
DIY
is like,
and anti-capitalist art. Like,
DIY,
what?
There is no authority.
No
you just
like,
do what?
Like, what the fuck? Like, why does that, why do you need that qualifier? But it's also like.
Well, he is just like, he is introducing himself, and I don't want to think that he really is like trying to make a claim to a scene or something.
I mean, I don't give a shit about that. I'm just like, why are you talking like you understand this whole concept perfectly, like when like people have dedicated like their whole lives to like building anti-capitalist DIY communities.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And like how many of them have you actually talked to about this, like, seriously?
It's like, yeah, I talk to the people who run
like
every venue that I play at
and fucking decades. And like the guy who wrote the protest art book, Alan W. Moore, he's like
oh,
an
he's
ABC
so
No Rio guy. He's gotta be in his like 60s or something, probably. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, talk to him.
He might have been in it for 10 years, too.
No way. No way. No way. He's an old dude. Like, I don't, like, this yeah. is like a collective conversation. You can't, like, just expect to be the authority about, like,
well, I think it's really cool that they started to have this conversation that was missing in their episode catalog, and like it, and I really appreciate Amber for putting herself out there and starting this conversation about something that like she is passionate about, and she has written about music.
Yeah.
And music is a different form of art than we're talking about. But
yeah, like, and I think she's right about like music writing and like just like
yeah,
the whole pop like examining pop and like demanding pop, like the whole mm-hmm. pop stars conversation is fucking annoying and useless. Like, I agree that demanding that like ultra rich artists like adhere to like whatever specific like cultural grievances is like ridiculous and a waste of time, but this group of like people who they're talking about how artists like go to school and get these like degrees that say I'm an artist, so yeah. I guess I'm an artist, but it's like,
and then they just work in advertising,
yeah, and like all these bullshit
totally
industries.
Agree that that's a yeah. real conundrum. Mm. Like one way that people can feel creative and then also like never dip below middle class.
Right. And like it sucks any meaning out of the word. It's also, it's like an aspirational identity, but it's like, I think it's important to look at it more like everybody has a right to art.
Absolutely.
To art making, and advertising is a bullshit industry that we wouldn't need in a socialist world.
We don't need it now.
Yeah, we don't need it now, and we wouldn't, you know, there, but I feel like under capitalism right now, people like have been duped or whatever the fuck to get these degrees, and there's so many of them, and they just keep churning out more and more of them.
Oh, absolutely. So, there's just such a meaninglessness to our job market at this point where there's a few things that you could get a job. You could be a construction worker, but I don't even know what kind of school do you go to for that. So, do you get an art degree for that? You use all the same tools.
It's wild. I mean, they should just be art schools should just be converted into trade schools or something like that.
I think so.
Look, it makes way more sense.
I think that everyone should just learn how to use tools and apply them how they will, and then there should be periods of time for independent study, and if on your independent track you want to make a thesis about why your art matters, like, God bless you. That's a generative passion. But like, otherwise, you know, the whole format of also like fine art curriculum being centered around making a finished product stunts the concept that you could be using all these materials that you're not already confident with by the age of 17.
Yeah, I think we're starting to get into like another way of looking at revolutionary art besides just propaganda. Like, it's like, you don't, yeah, or, like, it's either like, oh, you're propaganda, or you're a cop out, or you're just doing it for catharsis or whatever. Those are the three options.
Yeah,
but let's,
you've got to open up yourself a little bit and let in the revolutionary power of art.
Well, it's like, don't dismiss yourself, and you should take your position seriously and take yourself seriously, and like work amongst people who do jobs similar as you, and figure out, well, how can we be a labor force, and like, you know, what should our like collective messaging be like? Because mm-hmm. right now, it is like a collective messaging, because they all fucking hang out together.
They all
do each other's podcasts. That's all like, they're all like, you know, communicating the same thing. And the thing they're communicating is, fuck this, we don't care.
Yeah. They don't even bother to study are, before dismissing it, they just already think it has no, like, there's just no context for, I don't know. I don't know why you would, like, openly dismiss an entire field except for if it was Reiki. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. That was terrible. That was really rude. Actually, I have friends who do Reiki. I'm just going to backpedal right over that dead body. Whoa.
Yeah. I think, like, there's room to dismiss shit, like, for sure. Like, advertising, like, sure. Fuck it. We really don't need it. But right now we have to meet all those workers who are just doing work for advertising, whether it's I'm the secretary for an advertising firm, or like I'm packing the mail for this advertising firm or whatever. Yeah. Are those not workers? Like, or like, you know, I'm doing this for this bullshit gallery that sucks, yeah, or whatever.
Well, I think, is it like segueing into the like the Mexican muralists? Just thinking about the way that they plug into the communities around them, and then like the way that their trajectories went for how they started to create imagery, like it really came from people that wanted to see something, and artists are,
yes,
just
unlike,
like,
murals now, which, yeah, I think I've heard people on podcasts talk about how murals now are just, they're just used. That, like,
it's just used as a real estate tool.
This could be its own fucking episode, but murals are just a fucking real estate tool. I mean, yeah.
We've
talked about murals,
yeah,
before. But
yeah. Yeah.
But it's true. Like, if we can galvanize the people painting the murals to, like, have a more subversive messaging and actual leftist messaging to their murals, maybe they won't be so fucking, like, used up by,
oh yeah,
by realtors and
some
shit,
of the stuff,
and
like
advertisers.
I like Diego was so crazy. He was like unflinchingly into like making these compositions right after his cubist phase, where it would be like a bunch of revolutionaries at the very top of the image, like bearing down on a bunch of people that have like martini glasses and they're dressed as flappers, and they all look like they're completely trashed and unaware that they're going to be shot. Like the painting is about, yeah, like people with, they're covered in bullets and they're coming to shoot all the rich people. And that was like, here, you know what? I'm not afraid to make this statement, and this has power. Like, I don't know.
It's also like the muralists were communists, but they didn't all agree. Like, Siqueiros was a Stalinist.
Oh, yeah. And then he was the one who tried to assassinate,
yeah,
Trotsky, and he failed.
Assassinate Trotsky. Like, Trotsky was staying with Rivera.
Yeah.
And
Frida.
Yeah, and Frida. And Orozco was cool, too. I forget which side he was on, but he would paint a lot of, like, just, like,
he did such cool stuff.
Really cool, really fucking cool murals about like factories, car factories, and workers.
Yeah.
And
he made this whole
revolution
epic thing about Quetzalcoatl.
Yes.
So it was like the birth of humanity, and then it was propaganda, to be sure, but it was like all of the people are rising up and becoming aware, and then the colonialists are like murdering everyone, but like Quetzalcoatl was like watching over the whole time, and then the people rose again, and
well, it's like, it's called socialist realism because it's real. Like, this is like a universal like feeling that we need can spread to people.
Yeah. Oh, what is it? There's a two different one. It's like social realism or socialist realism, because the program that Stalin had in Russia for his propaganda wing was like weirdly similarly termed.
Yeah, I don't really care about the exact isms of things, because, yeah, well, we're gonna
just
want to
make
it.
Sure we're not,
no,
talking about the wrong one.
I know that's very true, but we're gonna talk about the Manifesto for an Independent Revolutionary Art, which was ghostwritten by Trotsky, but was signed by Andre Breton and Rivera. And the thing with that is that the manifesto is against fascist art, and it's against capitalist art.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we need to come with this. I think that's the angle that we need to approach.
But we should also,
yeah,
say there are some communist programs for art that were not chill.
And that's what the manifesto is about. That chill. The manifesto is very critical of Stalinist art programs. I think it's like, I think it's another way to think about this. And I think it's like something that's just not in people's conversations when they talk about like optics and like,
yeah,
like, the feminists, they're distracting from the real issues of labor. And it's like, ugh. No, this is all the same. Like, getting sexually harassed at work is a part of working conditions and can be,
and it's a big problem. Like, it should be addressed. Happen.
Can be addressed through labor organizing, and like, so if your labor organizing isn't specifically addressing the stuff, you're ignoring half of the workers.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Oh yeah. Like, but it's hard. It's hard to tell that to people who think that women are like this sort of expendable or like flexible force in the job market, where they're like, yeah, you know, it's still pretty much expected. You know, you work X amount of years, and then maybe you gotta go, go get a family or something. That's still in some people's heads, even though it's so far from my reality. Well, not actually. I was just talking at work. I work with women.
Yeah.
And and like, you know, it's like, can I have a baby? Is it even possible? Do I have to keep working? Okay, well, you know what? I'm not going to plan on it, cuz jobs come first. But that's kind of the thing people think about too. Not only do you get treated like shit at work by your coworkers who just are like insensitive, horny people.
Yeah.
Then you also think, oh, if I did want to do that thing that everybody says I might do, like go start a family, I might not be able to come back and be in the same position I'm in, especially with no safety net. And
yeah, a lot. You know,
everybody knows this.
The majority of people who go to art school are women. And the jobs they end up in are these weird, precarious bullshit jobs with no benefits. And so we want to speak to them, and like, to speak to them, you have to like speak on their level of like things that have gotten them real material gains in the past, which was like a lot of feminism.
Yeah. Like, feminism is amazing, actually. Like, you know, there's branches of it that have connected, like going to socialist feminist meetings, sometimes you're going to run into people who are all hardline turfy.
Yeah.
But I've met so many cool people through these meetings that really want to connect, and that's their main goal, is finding ways to broaden the scope of people's concerns, because they realize that this is considered a marginal issue to most.
And like, this is what I mean, is like, I don't want people on the margins just like going to the Democrats because they're the only ones who have been able to address their material needs or yeah. Like,
well, because it's so bare bones, we just end up like, if you're at all in danger to become pregnant, you just end up voting for the people who aren't going to take Roe v. Wade away,
right?
And that, you know, it's such a stupid reducing, like, it's horrible. You can't, there's no one else to vote for but the person who's like, oh yeah, you have the freedom to choose what you want to do. The rest of your life is going to be hell, but at least you're not going to bring a kid into it. Like, thank you.
Sucks.
Thanks.
And it's like, they're like, people can look at this movement as like a, oh wow, it's kind of thanks to a lot of this movement that I didn't have to get married when I was 16 to some fucking asshole and just be his slave for the rest of my life.
super, because super glad that I have my own credit line.
Yeah, you know, you learn about the roles women used to have and what they have now and, like, what...
Do you know about gleaners? This is something I learned about from a painting, by the way. A painting taught me something about history and the way that economics used to work. Isn't that interesting?
Wow. Paintings can do something.
Yeah. So there's this whole genre of painting where they're gleaner paintings, and basically the way that a harvest used to work is that there was like a main tilling or whatever, and then everybody does their harvest, and it's like all by hierarchy, by class.
Yeah.
So everyone picks clean all the pieces of wheat that they want or whatever the harvest is, and then the gleaners come in. They're all women, and they pick grains out of the dirt after everyone is gone. And if they're caught coming in earlier, they're like maybe killed, but definitely like you can be whipped for trying to get food. And like most of these women were also, you know, they would have multiple children. And sometimes the children would be like strapped to them while yeah. they're picking up single grains out of dirt. And this was something that was turned into like a propaganda movement where they were like, look at how beautiful the working woman is when she's close to nature. We should never let her go into the city or learn how to read or like be a part of anything else, because this is beautiful. Look at the sunlight on her back while she's picking up these grains.
It's like it's such a real thing. It's like I would argue that, like, you know, if communism had won a couple of key battles earlier on in history, I think that things would be a lot better for women now than they've had to do the wins under capitalism. I think it would have been easier for them to do the wins under, you know, whatever amalgamated socialism or communism.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would have been easier for sure. But we're working with what we have right now and what we've done right now. And so it's just trying to get people to realize, like, there are all these examples of, like, women and queer folks and like all sorts of like marginalized groups, like
everyone who's been put down,
yeah, being much more heard under socialism and communism. And it's just like getting people to unlearn all the like weird propaganda, pro-capitalist propaganda they've heard their whole life, and being like, yeah, under capitalism, women this, and it's just like it's like it would be better under socialism for sure, but it's hard to get people to think in that way. And like so it's like a serious task to reckon with. It's not just something to be like brushed aside like it's optics.
Right. One way to think of it is that, you know, there's so many metrics of rights given to these, like, these marginalized groups that make up the majority of humanity. Yes. Like, yeah. We are the, you know, collectively, if you're a minority of some ethnicity or of presentation in some way or another, or if you just happen to be born and people look at you and they tell you that you're a woman, then you have to be like, I mean, you know, it's like, okay, yeah. This one wears pink. And we're going to decide all the time because this one's still property. And like if you just look at any conversation, you realize this isn't freedom, this is nothing. This is ridiculous. I live in a system where people can decide at any point what I'm allowed to do. So why don't I find a way to join with people who are also under this oppression, which it is. It's, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's lighter than air for some people, but it's still oppression. It's still fucked. Even if you can buy an abortion in some state where it's illegal, you're still being oppressed. You're still going out of your way to do something that you should just be able to do. So look to people who have it, you know, even more obviously difficult, and make a new system.
Well, it's like, it's almost like these folks, they just want to reform the Democrats. That's what I'm starting to think.
Oh,
like,
totally. Like, that would be easy.
Like, it's like, that's like kind of where the messaging is for a lot of like the left, the like,
yeah,
you know, the Bernie bro left or whatever. Like, it's,
which is nice. We need a Band-Aid. We totally need a Band-Aid, but, like, all of our bones are broken.
Yeah, dudes. I mean, like, oh, fuck. It's...
I don't know.
It's, like, you know, it's just gonna push on the burden to another place.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't address an international solidarity movement, if we just... if we just wash our hands and give up after we have health care.
No.
We're
still going to burn to death.
It's not enough. It's not enough to just focus on those things. Like, especially if you're getting paid to think about what the left should focus on.
Yeah. If you're squarely comfortable in your Patreon tower, then consider the plebes crying out below. We want art, and we want our lives back. I don't know. Help. No, don't have to help. Get out of here.
It's just like, I don't know. Just think about it. Like, or think about, like, other stuff. Like, if it's like a lot of what Chapo is criticizing media.
Right. And then, yeah, well, so, it's very convenient to be like, oh, well, media doesn't really matter except for whenever we talk about it all the time.
Yeah. So it does matter. And if it does matter, then maybe you should participate in a lot of the, like, really good Marxist media theorists.
Mm-hmm.
Like
any of the ones that have been detailed in our catalog.
And we're at, like, the end of the episode, so I guess maybe if folks want to read an independent revolutionary art, and maybe we'll talk about it. So we're just going to read a little bit of the manifesto, but we want to do a proper episode on it.
Yeah, this one's a teaser. Don't go away.
Like, we really encourage folks to read it. It's we're going to talk about it more in depth, and we're going to talk about the website Bad Art World, which is like an internationalist Marxist art organization that is thinking about the stuff. And they actually wrote a really good response reevaluation of this manifesto 80 years later that we also want to get into. So it is kind of enough for its own proper episode, but yeah, let's leave you guys with a little bit from it.
Yeah. Okay. The communist revolution is not afraid of art. It realizes that the role of the artist in a decadent capitalist society is determined by the conflict between the individual and various social forms which are hostile to him. This fact alone, insofar as he is conscious of it, makes the artist the natural ally of revolution. The process of sublimation, which here comes into play and which psychoanalysis has analyzed, tries to restore the broken equilibrium between the integral ego and the outside elements it rejects. This restoration works to the advantage of the ideal of self, which marshals against the unbearable present reality all those powers of the interior world, of the id, which are common to all men and which are constantly flowering and developing. The need for emancipation felt by the individual spirit has only to follow its natural course to be led to mingle its stream with this primeval necessity, the need for the emancipation of man. That's just one paragraph.
That's like the
ass manifesto.
Yeah. You know, it right in the first paragraph, even in times of peace, the position of art and science has become absolutely intolerable. So they're coming, they wrote this in 1938, and their art world was already fucking overly capitalistic, fascist, weird, like totally like just this weird amalgamation of bullshit. They're dealing with the same thing we're dealing with now.
Because all of those like cutesy salon shows that Duchamp was showing in, those were art fairs.
Bitch, those were art fairs. It's true. Making it easy for the rich to consume us.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Thanks, Duchamp.
Yeah, and they speak against the readymades in this, and like, you know, we're gonna get into it. It's all the same. And so the fact that this was a problem 80 years ago and it's still a problem now is, you know, we as leftists need to take it seriously and not just like 1 minute call ourselves propaganda and the next minute call ourselves entertainment.
Yeah.
It's fucking both. And it's like, so what are we going
to
do?
It's also messaging, and it's also a way to reformat society, because it's not only like propaganda reinforcing something, it's a call to action. Like, and I think there is a difference between propaganda just being like, hey, why don't you see the prevailing thought as related to goodness?
Yeah, overly moralistic. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like get up and
we
do your fucking thing, man.
We agree.
Come on.
We agree with like the critique of modern day art criticism as like a critique of like someone's character rather than their art is like sticky and ridiculous and is like not the point. Like, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that this needs to be addressed in a more holistic way than just dismissal.
Mm-hmm.
Because the manifesto from 80 years ago and the folks who are reexamining the manifesto now bring this up a lot, but
yeah, there's only more and more access to the possibility of a revolutionary engine.
The folks who the bad art world folks who have reexamined this, they argue, and I agree with them, that like that, you know, artists more and more are working class.
Mm-hmm.
And middle class, and not just intelligentsia.
Oh, totally.
So,
and
what
we
are
need
we
to
do about it?
We do need to break down that barrier too of, you know, people feeling intimidated by information. Like, if you hear someone saying something that you're not sure about, like, I don't know. I've just gotten more open about that myself, saying I don't know about that. I want to learn. That sounds important, and I want to participate. So if I also can bring more information to the table, we can share it. There, it's not a hierarchy like the way an intelligentsia is set up. It's
right.
A communal sharing of knowledge
right.
that can help us, because knowledge is power, baby.
I love that. Yeah, it's good to have a clearer thing than just despair and just like fuck,
something to chew on. Like we're in a puzzle and it's a pickle, but we have our minds and it's gotten us through centuries, so maybe.
Some of us, a lot of us are killed.
Yeah, I know. Saw.
Next episode for sure we're going to get into Andre Breton and Trotsky's manifesto.
Hell yeah.
And really take it seriously and
talk more about the artists too, maybe. Like, their lives were pretty nuts.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff that's just like never fucking taught. in like art history classes or any history classes, because they don't want to teach communism. That to them, communism equals fascism, and it's just not true, folks.
Yeah. It's, yeah, well, the least you could do is just tell us about these people as they lived. But, yeah, whatever.
Seriously.
Schools.
It's, you know, being a socialist teacher is a really important role in, if you really are serious about wanting a socialist revolution, then we need a lot of really good teachers. And
yeah,
if we don't have good teachers and we have this... And we have like these weird structures where we don't have time for anything, and so people are turning to podcasts more,
which is cool.
Maybe take that role seriously, a little more, just a little more.
It's people. Hey, Chapo, people look up to you guys.
People really like you guys.
Hey, they like you. Okay, stop.
And other people really want to like you, but they feel ashamed about it. That was definitely me. Lucia talked about that experience, like as like. Queer, I'm a queer person, and like,
I'm a little bit queer,
and like and femme people, and our friend Sarah talked about this too. Like, we don't really want to be like, yeah, we listen to Chapo because it like it hurts a lot of our friends' feelings, because Chapo's like are associated. It's not even just them, really. It's not even just them, but it's just like some of the other folks that they're associated with.
It's just hard. I know, like, you know, I feel like I could get a little jocular at times. It can be rude. I don't mind a little, it's just a little ribbing.
Like, I don't, yeah, it's not about like fucking.
Yeah, you don't have to like, you don't have to put kid gloves on or anything, but just like, you know, get a broader perspective and a
why does it alienate these people? Why is it happening?
Yeah, and why? Do you just have enough people that you don't care?
That is why, right?
And it's that's just fine. Like, there's enough people, I don't care. Whoops, the rest just fell off a cliff.
I don't know.
Never happened.
Maybe it's our job.
Yeah, hey, we're doing it.
Yeah, maybe it's like it's useless to try to get anyone else to examine why their messaging isn't reaching a broad coalition of people. Maybe it's our job to reach folks they're not reaching, and I'm willing to make a coalition with them and like really take this seriously as like a way of teaching folks about leftism. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. There's a lot of impressionable minds listening to you on their commutes.
Yeah. And you know, ContraPoints takes this shit really seriously. Y'all look up ContraPoints if you haven't. She so fucking good. Rules, and she's like beloved by like kind of every like American sort of person who is into leftism.
Totally.
She's kind of like the people have their criticisms with her, but she presents her stuff in a way where she's like, I'm not afraid of criticism, and like I want to hear it, honestly.
It's all about a conversation anyway.
And like, it's gonna maybe hurt my feelings sometimes if you do this or this, but I'm vulnerable and telling you that this is what's happening, and that I take this role seriously. She's our generation's John Berger, for fuck's sake. It's so cool to watch her, like, yeah. So I would look up her if you guys like this episode, I guess.
Great. Let's have fun in the meantime.
Okay. Let's have fun and fuck the mayor.
Yeah, fuck you, mayor. I get if you have an aeroplane that can fly the world and we can have a fantasy. It doesn't really matter if you drive a limousine. You drive for galaxy. I really don't care if you destroy a truck. I don't care if you just drive a limousine. It doesn't really matter if you drive a Ferrari. I really don't care because I just love your company. Let's have fun. 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 Lots of fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots.
the fun.